It's the best time of the year.
Holly jolly, everyone. From my at-home bunker, it's Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Yeah, Shawnee and Andy, I don't know if you've noticed that I'm still not back at the radio station.
We noticed.
We did notice.
You weren't here.
I don't know if you...
By the way, did you acoustically treat the room? You sound much better today.
Really?
Yes. You sound... It isn't as reverberant as it was last week.
No, haven't done one thing.
Did you install any equalization on the line?
No.
Okay.
I'm probably fatter than I was last week. That may be absorbing some of the sound. I made a nice pot roast last night in the slow cooker.
That's so good.
Yeah, that was good. That was. I was cooking up a storm yesterday. I made the. I started with the. Pot roast. I started that early in the day because that cooked, you know, in the slow cooker, cooked for 8 hours and melted in your mouth. It was good.
Also,
I made some homemade pesto yesterday, and I made a couple of appetizers that I'm going to do on TV this coming week, you know, just to test them out, make sure I don't poison anybody. I like to test out my recipes first before I show them on TV, but we're going to do some special holiday appetizers this year, which has me wondering, you know, normally people would do their holiday appetizers because people come over for the holidays. I don't think anybody's coming over for the holidays this year.
That's true.
Right? So, I mean, it might be one or two people. Are you going to put out a big spread for one or two people? Maybe people are. But, you know, you could just open a can of Spam and call it a day, really.
I think, though,
some crackers.
Once you're an entertainer, you always have that entertainment quality about you. So even if there's only two people coming over, you want to put out a good spread.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Spam and some Ritz crackers, that's a high line right there, if you ask me. I've been broadcasting from home all week.
Have you ventured outside?
I've gone outside. I'm done with quarantine, so okay. I don't. You know, if you weren't listening, if you haven't been reading the pages of the National Enquirer, I was.
So that's where it was. Where it came out.
Apparently. Apparently, I'm in some sort of love relationship with one of the Kardashians, and I tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, man.
WGN's Dean Richards chained in a room.
Which is worse, by the way, having COVID or being linked to a Kardashian?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I've been through one of them, and I know it's not so fun.
He is unable to move.
So I am safe to go outside now. And I have been for over a week, but I have gone and run a few errands, you know, fully masked, still doing all my distancing, still, you know, taking all my precautions. But I've been, you know, just as an extra measure of precaution for my coworkers, we thought it would be a good idea if I just continue to broadcast from home for a little while. And I don't know if you've seen any of the television broadcasts that we've done from my house. I'm getting rave reviews on my living room. We have the camera set up in my living room, and you can see my mantle, my fireplace, my Christmas tree, my Polk Brothers Santa that I have. I have him in the house this year because I'm afraid someone will either steal him or spray graffiti on him. I'm getting rave reviews of Uncle Dean's house.
Well, here's a new idea for you. In addition to your cooking segments, you could do an interior design segment now.
Huh. That's interesting.
Especially for this time of year.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do after the holidays, because after that, my living room's pretty boring. Which is to say, I may never come back to the studio. There's something very nice about just broadcasting
at home.
From home. Yeah, there's something nice about, you know, broadcasting from home, having some fun. Now, people have been. I've gotten quite a few emails about my Polk Brothers Santa Claus that I have. Do you guys even know what that is? A Polk Brothers Santa?
I do not.
It is a. You know, when you drive down the street, you see people and they have these plastic life-size Santa Clauses out in front of the house. Polk Brothers was a famous electronics.
Oh, I remember Polk Brothers as well.
Appliance store.
Sure.
It was the apt appliance of its day.
Uh-huh.
They had locations all over the place. It was huge. But back in the 1960s, if you went to Polk Brothers and you made a purchase, they gave you either a free Santa Claus, a 6-foot Santa Claus, or a 6-foot Frosty the Snowman.
Hmm.
And we had one when I was a kid. It got destroyed. And I mentioned it on the air. It's got to be 25 years ago that I lost my Polk Brothers Santa Claus. And one of our listeners many years ago gave me theirs.
Wow.
And I'm taking care of it like it's, you know, my child, because it's a cool Chicago heirloom right now. So it's in my window, and it's just one of these things that are quintessentially Chicago.
I just Googled it. Now I do remember what those are.
Yeah, they're cool. There are no other, you know, stand-up Santa Clauses like a Polk Brothers Santa. It's something special. But, you know, unfortunately, you have to be old like me to, or Schwanny, to remember from back in the day. But that, yeah, that's part of my holiday decorations. I have a lovely tree, you know, artificial tree that I went and got at Tree Time several years ago. Very, very beautiful. So, yeah, we're rocking the holidays here at Casa del Uncle Dean.
Casa del Uncle Dean.
Yeah, it's very nice. What kind of decorations do you have in your house, Schwanny?
I have a small tree, an artificial tree, and I'm decorated. I kind of got inspired, and I got out my ornaments that were my grandmother's.
Oh, nice.
My mom's side of the family. They had some really neat. I think they're kind of retro looking, but they're just. They have a lot of sentimental value,
oh,
so I got those out and put them on the tree. It's not a big tree at all. In fact, it's a tabletop tree, so there's not a room for all of the ornaments. So I just pulled out my favorite ones, put them on there.
Nice.
Works great. Looks great.
That's nice. That's the most meaningful part of the Christmas decorations to me is, you know, going through the old ornaments. I have several also that were my grandmother's. And I have a lot of things. You know, my mom, I want to say maybe 5-7 years ago, you know, gave me her Christmas decoration. She said, I'm not going to decorate anymore. I'm over that. I'm too old for that. So I have a lot of her stuff. And, you know, as I'm putting it up this year especially, was
very meaningful.
You know, very meaningful to me since I, you know, she passed away in September. So it's nice. That's a meaningful part of the holiday to me. Do you put anything up in your house, Andy, at all?
Well, this year we just had some lights up in the house. We got the puppy, so now that we can't really have anything on the ground and that kind of stuff because he'll get into everything. So we're trying to make him make him safe. But you know, normally I don't. My girlfriend, I just said we'll put some lights up in the house, and she's like, yeah, that's great. So let's do it. So.
Very
we do
nice.
That. Yeah.
You know, when I had a dog, for 14 years, I had a white German Shepherd named Lucy, a fantastic dog. And it was my great holiday tradition every year. Back then, I used to get a real tree and you know, and decorate it. And I used to like to put those icicles on it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Those that old-fashioned icicles. And I would put it on there, and Lucy would eat the icicles around the bottom of the tree.
Oh, great.
And it was the annual tradition of, how can I put this, measuring the time of her digestive system?
Yeah.
Shall we say? And it's like,
we'll just leave it at that.
Ah, now it's Christmas. Look how festive that looks.
Yeah.
Now it's.
And we're not putting that back on the tree.
that's an unusual looking ornament that you have there, Dean.
We used to put those on them when I was a kid. We would have a real tree in the living room and put those icicles on there with the lights.
Yeah.
It really looks so nice.
It does.
It reflects the light in the room and the lights on the tree.
Right, right. Except that it's a mess. You know, it's a mess putting them on. The real trees with the needles
and
coming
off. And then getting them off when this season is over.
Oh, and the whole thing, the whole process of taking the tree down, like a real tree down with the icicles and all that stuff. And you're finding needles usually in your bare foot somewhere in April. You know, no matter how good you've cleaned up, but it's nice, and especially this year, kind of takes our mind off of all the craziness of 2020. Do we have a good far-flung forecast for today?
We do. Well, you're going right into it then. Okay.
Well, you know, Shawnee, time is money.
As a matter of fact, we not only do, it's related to Christmas, directly related to Christmas. And as a matter of fact, we go overseas today to Portsmouth, England.
Oh, wow.
Not Portsmouth. Portsmouth.
But it's spelled like Portsmouth.
Yeah, right. Yeah. P-O-R-T-S-M-O-U-T-H. Portsmouth.
I love when you go international.
Well, we are indeed international today. Portsmouth goes back to the late 3rd century when the Romans built a port there. And it has that much of a history. Think about that, going back about 1,700 years. And it is also the home, in fact, the Landport District of Portsmouth is home to someone that we all know and love.
Now, what is a Landsport District?
That's the Landsport District that's part of the Portsmouth Port. It's land.
Yeah, what does that mean?
The port. What does it mean? It means... Yeah. It's land at the port.
Oh. So it's
dry land.
So it's the
because
shore.
Because it is a port city. Yeah, it's a shoreline.
It's the shore where boats dock.
Yes, right. Okay. Right. Okay. A port city built on...
You know,
on,
you start talking all nautical. I have no idea.
And it's actually
I feel like I'm on the Wendella and I'm lost. I have no idea. You nautical people.
You don't want to run aground. You can Shiver me timbers. Run aground.
Okay.
Pulling into port. And it's actually a part of an island in the county of Hampshire. Not Hampshire, but Hampshire.
Sure.
But it is home to someone we all know and love, especially at this time of the year. The writer Charles Dickens was born there in February of 1812.
Did he write anything famous?
Yeah, I think he did. As a matter of fact, a book that was published 177 years ago yesterday was entitled A Christmas Carol.
Wow.
Now, the whole title of the book is A Christmas Carol in prose, being a ghost story of Christmas. That's the whole name of the book.
Wait, say the whole title again?
A Christmas Carol in prose, being a ghost story of Christmas.
Huh.
Commonly known.
That took 4 or 5 pages just with the
just
title.
Just to write that, yeah. And, but it was first published December 19th, or as they would say in England, 19 December 1843.
What did you? 19
December.
Have you been watching Masterpiece Theater this week?
19 December.
I'm still coming off of the skit we did a couple of weeks ago when Andy and I were doing A Christmas Carol.
Right.
But how about this?
You thespians.
How about this? It was first in the stores 19 December 1843. By Christmas Eve that year, it was sold out.
You know what's amazing to me?
And has never been out of print.
Yeah, what's amazing to me is, you know, that this book is published 177 years ago and how absolutely timely it still is.
I got out my copy when I was doing research for this and read through it. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to read. You want something uplifting, it's just wonderful to read.
Yeah, it's a wonderful story. I do have to ask, though, you do research for this?
Well, you know, I'm not necessarily making this up. Here's something interesting for you, Uncle Dean.
Yes.
Charles Dickens's brother, Augustus, was one time a resident of Chicago and is buried here in Graceland Cemetery.
Really?
Yes. He died here in 1866 and is buried in Graceland Cemetery.
Huh.
Came over here from London. He was quite a character. He tried to be a writer. He tried to be this and that. And, you know, some people referred to him as kind of a no account, maybe.
Oh.
Left his wife in England and then came to the United States. By the way, Charles Dickens himself was supposed to come to Chicago and then didn't.
Huh.
So, but Augustus made his way to good old Chicago and died here in 1866. He's buried in Graceland Cemetery.
Would you like to be Charles Dickens' brother? Everyone always going, oh, yeah, you're a nice guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You're nothing like your brother.
Yeah, right. You're not like your brother is.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, all of us.
Why can't you be more like your brother?
Why can't you be more like your... And he's always going, Mom always liked you best.
Mom always liked you best.
Yeah.
Portsmouth, England, by the way, it is cloudy and 51. And they, let's see, it's 3:30 in the afternoon there, or as they would say, 15:30 hours.
Oh, geez, here we go.
15:30.
All right. We're going to speak actually
on this Sunday, 20 December.
We're going to get the news, which will be in American. And also Dr. Kevin Most, who is going to be speaking in American. All coming up next at WGN.
Raindrops on roses and whispers on kittens.
It is 9:39. This is Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. And it's a pleasure to welcome into the program, as we have done just about all year long, Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital, or as I like to call him now, my vaccinated friend. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Dean. How are you?
So you got the Pfizer vaccine earlier this week, right?
Yes, I did. I got the Pfizer vaccine on Thursday afternoon. So pretty exciting times.
And any kind of reaction? Is it like what I've read mostly is it's like getting the reaction for most people is like a flu shot. Your arm is a little bit sore. That's about it. Pretty much, right?
Yeah, the thousands that we gave, we had very few people who had any interactions whatsoever. So I had a little bit of a sore arm, but really nothing. I had no fever, no body aches, no fatigue. It was less than a flu shot for me.
And you don't feel any different, lethargic, tired? Do you feel like Superman now that, you can bend steel with your bare hands?
Yeah, actually, I talked to one of the other doctors who got it, and he said, I leapt over a big building today. So.
right. It's quite a thing. Now, what do you make of some of the stories that we've heard of it sounds like allergic reactions, and one medical facility in particular where four people came down with pretty severe reactions, so much so that they stopped giving the vaccines till they could figure out, do we have a bad batch? What's going on here?
Yeah, I think we're all being, I don't want to say overcautious, but we're being very careful. So Advocate Condell up in Libertyville noticed four people that had reactions, stopped doing the vaccinations, and then reviewed those four cases and found that it really probably wasn't a reaction, and they're going to start vaccinating again today.
If it wasn't a reaction, what might it have been from four different people?
Yeah, so they got increased heart rates, so whether there was anxiety related to it, whether they had somewhat of a small reaction, but nothing to a point where we're going to say, hey, stop this.
Nothing to the point to say that this is related to the vaccines that that we're giving. And I think speaks very highly to their process that there is that follow-up, that they're following people's reactions when they get the vaccine.
Oh, yeah. Everyone has to realize that when we get the vaccine now with healthcare givers, we give them a website to go to track and to tell the CDC of any reactions that they're having. So we have very close monitoring on all those people.
So when you get your vaccine, when anybody gets their vaccine, do you make an appointment then for your second vaccine at a certain date? How does the follow-up work with that?
Correct. So all the healthcare systems right now are pretty much doing it the same way. We're going to be very tight because we want to make sure we stay within the requirements and the recommendations of the vaccine. So I got my vaccination. I walked out the hall, made my appointment for 21 days later, and I have my time and date for my next for the second shot.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now, the first shipments of the Moderna vaccine are being loaded up on trucks this morning and will begin distribution. What's the difference between the Moderna vaccine and the one that you got, the Pfizer vaccine?
Yeah, probably the best thing about the Moderna vaccine is that it doesn't have to be stored at minus 70 degrees. Because of that storage requirement, there's only limited places that could accept the vaccine and hold the vaccine. Where the Moderna vaccine is can be kept in a standard medical freezer. So it's definitely going to be better for nursing homes, rural communities that they don't have these high-tech ultra-cold freezers. So really looking forward to really a wider base now that we can deliver the vaccine to.
And is it also a two-step process for the Moderna vaccine as well?
Yep, two shots. Moderna is a little different. The Pfizer is 21 days. The Moderna is 28 days. The big one that we're really waiting for the results on is obviously going to be the Johnson & Johnson, which is a single shot.
And when are we expecting that?
We expect the results from Johnson & Johnson probably, I would imagine, the week of January 4th.
Okay.
They're compiling it right now. And then AstraZeneca should be very close to the same time, just based on the holiday schedule.
And they're still doing the testing on it. So does that mean they do not know the efficacy, the effectiveness of these two up-and-coming vaccines?
Yeah, they have a really good idea, but they can't obviously say anything until the study is done. So the way that they do these is they immunize an arm with placebo and immunize an arm with vaccine. And then what they do is they look for who gets the infections. So if 100 people got it in the placebo and only 5% got it in the vaccination arm, you know that it's highly, highly effective.
Okay. So once somebody is vaccinated, can they start running around without a mask and not exercise social distancing? I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, I can't wait to get vaccinated so we can go back to normal. Can we go back to normal?
No, by the time we get to doing the general public, we'll have a much better idea. So the Pfizer vaccine didn't look at the potential of being an asymptomatic carrier. It showed that you would not get symptoms, but we didn't show that it would stop infection. Hope everybody understands that. We know a lot of asymptomatic people right now that have the infection but don't have symptoms. So AstraZeneca is looked at it. And Moderna showed that 66% of those who got the vaccine were non-carriers going forward. So that's very promising.
Let me take a break. We'll come back and get to your questions for Dr. Most. Wanted to also ask you about this new strain that is pretty much shutting down the United Kingdom this morning. We'll talk more with Dr. Kevin Most in a moment. If you have a question or a comment, 312-981-7200, WGN. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, and our weekly visit with Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. So, Kevin, I'm watching the news, and I'm seeing stories of a new strain of COVID-19 that is affecting London and the UK right now. What can you tell us about this? Are we in for, a second strain?
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest concerns. You know, we knew this mutated in June, and now we're seeing a follow-up mutation here that's only really been noted in the UK. So you probably have seen Boris Johnson saying, hey, let's not travel. Let's kind of shut this down. The one good thing I will say about the mutation is that it doesn't impact the vaccines that we have developed. We know that the vaccines are a specific spike protein that they're looking at, and that did not change in this mutation.
So the vaccines are effective against this second wave as well, should it come this way?
Correct. So, you know, the mutation that we had in June, where we saw that it was much more contagious, but not as virulent. And remember, this summer we had a lot of cases, but not a lot of hospitalizations. And then now in the fall, we've seen that creep up. But that mutation that happened in June was very good for us because we were getting crushed so much in the spring.
Here's Henry on the line at 312-981-7200. Henry, you're on WGN. Hello. Henry, are you there? Okay, we're having a problem with the phone system to get Henry on the air. There he is. Henry, are you there?
Hey. Yes, good morning.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Dr. Most, what happens if someone gets the first shot, but for some reason they take a stupid pill and don't get the second shot? Look, I'm just curious. Henry, I know there's going to be people out there that are going to do this.
Henry, that is one of our biggest concerns. When we look at people, and even for something, say, the shingles shot, you get it, and boy, you say, oh, man, this hurts so much, I'm going to forget about that second shot. So we know that individuals who get this vaccine start to get some immunity immediately. When I say immediately, within a week of getting it. And we know that that first vaccine is going to get you maybe about 60% protected. I think I've seen 62 to 65. The booster is really what's going to get you to that 95. So we're really going to hope that everybody follows up with both of them. And hopefully those stupid pills run out of stock right around the time we start to vaccinate.
Yeah, I got to say, I bought most of those stupid pills, by the way. I stocked up the last time I was at Walgreens. Sorry about that, everyone.
Dr. Mo, you still there?
Yes, he can hear you, yes.
Okay, I'm just curious. When do you think the average Joe is going to be able to get it? Like in 2025, or when do you think I'll be able to get it?
No, Henry. I mean, you look at the production rates right now and look at the way that we're going to roll this out. I would say that the general public is going to be tax day, maybe a little bit after tax day this year. So, you know, we're looking at production rates right now to really get these first line, front line workers done probably January, February. Then we'll go into those tier two, which are going to be teachers. They're going to be essential workers, firefighters, police. And then really after that, hopefully they'll roll it out to those over the age of 65 that are still living outside of a nursing home facility. And then it'll be the public right after that. And I think if the production rates keep up and we get two more vaccines approved, I think we're going to be looking at April, May, and you'll see a big rollout across the country.
Well, let's
hope. In time for baseball.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yep.
Henry,
baseball and outdoor dining. Yep.
Yeah, we're just in time for that. Henry, thanks for the call. This is Josh. You're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Yeah, hi. I have a question for if somebody is a police officer, you know, is it really safe to be working right now? Because if they come in contact with somebody that has COVID-19, and then they could spread it, and then they could spread it to that that officer could get it.
Sure. And Josh, it's one of the reasons that the frontline safety, whether they're firefighters or police officers, are going to be in this next tier to get them protected as much as they can. We really want to make sure that the officers are wearing masks. And now we know that when they come up to somebody or they have an interaction, that individual may not be wearing a mask, but they have been taught protective measures as well as to minimize the time that they're in front of these individuals. So certainly they're at a higher risk. And that's why we're going to put them right into that tier two as the next wave to do to get vaccine. And that next wave could be as early as a few weeks from now.
You know, everybody is so optimistic because of the rollout of the vaccines. And, you know, people are talking about that instead of day-to-day protection, which still needs to be the number one concern right now, right?
100%.
I've ventured out now that I'm past my quarantine period. And I'm amazed at the grocery store of people who are still not wearing masks, not wearing them properly, down around their chin, not covering their nose, crowding around people. How much, we say it over and over and over again, But that is the number one thing now for the vast majority of people is still taking those precautions, right?
100%. I can tell you that, you know, morale has obviously turned the corner. I can tell you, especially in the hospital systems that are doing these vaccinations, you can see morale lifting because we're starting to see a potential end to this. But what we all have to realize is that about 5% of the country has been infected, I will say, and has some protection. We need to get to 75% before we can lose these masks. So we have a long ways to go.
Yeah.
But we just need to know that now is going to be the time to wear the mask, educate yourself about the vaccine, because we still have about 40% of people saying, I don't want to take the vaccine. The beauty of it is that hopefully they say, I'm going to take it later. Well, later, maybe 6 months from now, when it's open to them anyways. So we will have so much more information on its safety, its side effect profile, that right. hopefully we're going to see people lining up for this.
Do people have to sign up in order to get in line for the vaccine? How does that work? I mean, I know we're taking care of healthcare workers and first responders and police and firemen and nursing homes and, like that. But how does the average person, do they have to contact their doctor and say, put me down on the list?
That's the unknown at this time, is how the government's going to roll it out after these first two phases. When they roll it out to the general public, will they stratify it there? In other words, that the doctor will have to write an order or call to make an appointment at a Walgreens or a CVS. That's the unknown right now. Because really, when it comes out, if you can bring it out in a rolling effect, that still makes the most sense. Let's make sure that the doctors know that patients with diabetes get it first, with COPD, with any lung disease get it, you know. And if they have to have an order initially before we roll it out to the entire general public, that would certainly make more sense. But we have not heard yet how it will be distributed from the federal government, who has purchased all these vaccines.
Yeah. I just want to mention the 773 area code texting in. Dean, I'm about 5 weeks older than you. I got diagnosed with COVID on Friday. Hearing your journey helped me not to panic. So, well, thank you. Thank you very much, for that. And that's really what this is about, Kevin, right? It's just about sharing this information so we're armed with the best information that we can. I'm glad that my experience can help other people, feel less scared when they get the information. But that's from getting information from you, and doctors.
Well, yes, and from you. You are a trusted voice in this community, obviously. And when people hear what you went through, and now they're hearing you, boy, he sounds the same. He still has the same energy. I see him on TV and radio, and he's the hardest working person. Boy, he got through this, and he's my age. That is really, reassuring to a lot of people. That, along with us talking about the vaccine and talking about, boy, if you get symptoms that are worsening, what should you do? So, I think you've been a great source of information over the entire year. So I appreciate you allowing me to come on and share my thoughts.
Well, I'm glad that you're nice enough to do it. I want, if everyone wants to say thank you, put your mask on properly. That's the best way to say thank you to any. That's the best way to say Merry Christmas to anybody this year. Kevin, thank you again for joining us. A very, very Merry Christmas, albeit it's going to be a different one for everybody this year. Hopefully a safe one for everyone this year. But all the best to you and your family, and I will talk with you soon. Thank you so much.
You got it. Take care.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. News next, WGN. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, still live from my house after my bout with COVID-19, doing much better, but happy to be with you on this Sunday before Christmas time. A lot going on this morning, including one-on-one with Tom Hanks. I'll be talking with him about his new movie, and Gal Gadot, the star of Wonder Woman 1984, and also you'll meet some of the supporting characters in the new Netflix movie, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which I gave a Dean's List A. It's an amazing movie that stars Viola Davis and the late Chadwick Boseman. All of that and so much more coming up with you. I wanted to spend a couple of minutes, though, talking with our pal Paul Liznick, a political analyst at WGN. Paul, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
I am good, Dean. So glad you're on the mend.
Thank you very much. Yeah, feeling much better. You know, and this is my timing. I get COVID-19. I'm recovering. And now the vaccine is... It's Dean's 2020 luck, as I like to call it this year.
It all changes 2021. I'm just waiting. Good riddance to this terrible year.
Yeah, boy, that's for sure. What I wanted to check in with you about this morning, Paul, is this much debated, much talked about, long-awaited COVID-19 rescue package that the Democrats and the Republicans have been fighting over and holding while people are in such great need. It looked like things were about to happen last night, very late last night. Where are we with all of this right now?
Well, it does look like there's going to be a deal today. The sticking point, and it came out of nowhere, Dean, if people follow this at all, what they were thinking was, oh, yeah, isn't this the problem where the Democrats want to get money for state and local governments, and the Republicans, specifically Mitch McConnell, they want to protect companies from getting sued if somebody gets COVID-19? That is such yesterday's news. Both of those things are out of the bill. The latest thing was Republican Senator Pat Toomey, who decided that this, I think it's $427 billion that didn't get spent from the first COVID relief bill. The fear is that it would get spent in ways that he didn't want it spent. So he came up with this block basically saying, look, the Fed will not have the right to take that leftover money and spend it the way they've spent it before. If that makes no sense to you, it makes no sense to a lot of people.
Yeah,
but the fear is that there'd be this extra money going where the specifically the Republicans, because leadership supported him, didn't want it to go. Anyway, they moved through that block very late last night by allowing the Fed power. The Fed just can't spend it the way they spent it before. That's the new rule. And it looks like there will be a deal now that will we have not seen the details, by the way, where I can tell you what we do know about it. But it should be coming out today.
What have they been talking about that is likely to be passed today? I mean, there have been so many different stories of a $900 billion quick passage, $300 a week for jobless benefits. What have you heard and that they're kicking around?
Well, that is what we're hearing. It is about 900. Remember, the Democrats started this process at 3.2 trillion, so they've come down to the 900 billion. Republicans started this at 500 billion, so they've come up just a little. But yes, it looks like it's going to be the $300 weekly pay for people, which is so critical. Democrats wanted that to be $600 a week, but Republicans felt that's too much money and people will be making more money than they make in their jobs, and we can't have that. Plus, everybody will get a one-time $600 stipend, so a married couple will get $1,200, for example. And that's meant to be a bit of a boost to get them out of a jam. But here's the bottom line to this. This is a Band-Aid. It's emergency relief. It is not the end result. This is about let's get through Christmas. And when the new administration comes in January, they will have a huge task ahead of them to clearly do more spending and more bills. But it looks as though it's going to be interesting. With all the spending that's been going on in this emergency, it looks like Republicans are going to start putting up a block basically saying, no, we've got to watch the national debt here. We can't let it get out of control, which is just so ridiculous.
Well, that answers possibly my next question, because it for a minute sounded like the Republicans and Democrats are actually working together for the public good, country over party. But now that you've qualified that, it sounds like business as usual.
Well, in some ways, they are going to get a deal, so everybody gets to go home and people will get some money. The bottom line is that Democrats want to give people a lot more money. Republicans want to put limits on that money, thinking that it's just not needed. Those are philosophical differences, but at least there is something that will get people through the holidays, and people will differ as to how much. Listen, if you're out of a job and you've got no money and you can't put food on the table, I'm not sure we can give you a check that's enough to get you through this really difficult period right now.
Have we heard anything from the White House on any of this?
You know, it's interesting that just days ago, actually, President Trump wanted to give people a $2,000 check, not the $600 one. And his advisors apparently got him to shut that down. He wanted to have a much larger payment. Once again, the concern being, look what it'll do to the budget. You know, I'm sounding a bit sarcastic on that, because when you look at how the deficit has grown over the last few years to, you know, $22 trillion, whatever it's up to, now in a national emergency, why are we so concerned about the national deficit at this point? This is what governments are for. You've got to take care of the people. If it's not now, when? So the bottom line is, the president, I think, will sign on to this, because something has to happen before Christmas, and this is about all that's going to be able to happen.
All right. Well, stay tuned and keep people posted on what's going on. Listen for your commentary on WGN-TV. Paul, have a great day today. Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas, Dean. Look forward to seeing you back in the studio soon.
Thanks, pal. Happy holidays to you, too. Quick break. When we come back, a longtime old radio buddy joining me on the air. After this, in WGN. W22 Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Normally, the week before and the week of Christmas are the busiest movie times of the year. Not quite as busy as it's been in the past with, you know, under normal times, but with theaters being closed, at least here in the Chicago area, your choices are going to be limited. There are lots of movies that have opened, some of which are on streaming platforms. Some of them are on demand. You know, there's a variety of different ways. Some are only opening in theaters, and that means out of luck for those of us here in the Chicago area, since theaters are not open. But they are opening in theaters, because in some places the theaters are still open. The movie that we've been talking about all week, and just is getting rave reviews, and I'm just going to emphasize it one more time, is this Bee Gees documentary, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, that tells you the story of the trio, the brothers Gibb, Morris, Robin, and Barry Gibb, from their early beginnings as a brother trio back in Australia, to hitting it big in England, to the disco era, to the aftermath of the disco era, and everything positive and negative that came along with it. It's a very interesting story. And the music, to just reminisce with that Bee Gees music, is just fantastic. So that's running on HBO Max right now. There's also a Charlie Pride documentary called Charlie Pride, I'm Just Me, which is running on the PBS app. American Masters did a special on Charlie Pride some years ago, and they have put the documentary following Charlie's death a week or so ago on their video app, and it's running for free. So you can watch it now through December 26th if you're interested in that. For the kids, there is the movie called The Croods, A New Age. That's a follow-up to a 2013 animated film. The Crood family is, you know, up to new adventures. I'm not sure this one really breaks any ground, but it's nice enough. You know, just something new for the kids to do and watch. There's also the Christopher Nolan movie Tenet, which, in September, when it looked like theaters might be opening again, the movie Tenet was the test balloon to see if people would go back into theaters to see a movie, because this one was so anticipated. And it turns out that people did not go back into theaters to see this movie, or, you know, virtually any other. So it's available on demand. It's on some of the streaming services this week. I gave it a Dean's List B-. It's beautiful to see. The cinematography is amazing. The special effects are amazing. I couldn't follow the story, which is the case with a lot of Christopher Nolan movies. He makes his movies so difficult to follow. I think it works against a lot of his movies. So be that as it may, just know that it's out there this week. The one that I'm really recommending is called Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. It is on Netflix and stars Viola Davis as blues legend Ma Rainey. And this is an adaptation of an August Wilson play. The Pulitzer Prize winner, August Wilson, won a Tony Award for Best Play for Ma Rainey when it was on stage on Broadway. And now it's been adapted to the movies. And Viola Davis is amazing. This is the story of a recording session in Chicago in the late 1920s. And Ma Rainey wants things her way or no way. She's not taking any flack from anybody. She is a tough, tough person. One of the members of her band is played by Chadwick Boseman. This is turning out that it's going to be his final performance since his death earlier this year of colon cancer. He's going to win an Academy Award. His performance, whether or not posthumous or not, his performance is just absolutely amazing in this movie that tells the story of this young and up-and-coming trumpet player who dares to defy Ma Rainey. I sat down with some of the other supporting characters in this movie, and we talked about the movie and August Wilson and Chadwick Boseman, Coleman Domingo, Glenn Turman, and Michael Potts. Coleman, if I could get you to start off and just talk a little bit about the importance of the work of August Wilson.
August, there's no writer that really exemplifies Black life in America more than August Wilson. I'm going to take a line that my friend Michael Potts has said. He's our Black Shakespeare. He really does, and he's given us the gift to give us this century cycle to examine who we are, how, and really dealing with ordinary people most of the time, to understand what goes into the plight of the dreams of a garbage man or jazz musicians or a singer, you name it. So I think the idea of August Wilson's work to be adapted into film is extraordinary. I think that we get to see, we can reach many, many others, and they can really examine African-American life, and people can see that, hey, we want what you want, and we're going to show you such complex depictions of who we are. You may think you knew who we are, but August Wilson takes you deeper and deeper and deeper, so you realize they're closer to you than you even imagine.
Clint, I wonder if you could talk about what African Americans were going through during this period in this movie depicted here in our city of Chicago in the 1920s.
I wasn't around in the 1920s.
No. You made me feel like you were, though, when I watched the movie.
I'm lying, Glenn.
Glenn, you were there.
You were there.
But Toledo was there. And, like I said, Chicago was a hub. It was a drop-off hub for everybody. Many Black families and people migrating from the Jim Crow laws of the South, So my father included. I remember he landed in Chicago first before drifting off to New York. So, and I've still got family in Chicago as a result of that migration from that time period. So, Chicago's always meant some sort of hope for a new idea, hope for a new place a place to start anew, a place where your dreams could be made possible, and a place where you went to escape a certain oppression, a certain confinement. And these men and women find themselves in this particular place in this play, because this is the only play that August wrote that was outside of the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah.
Oh, there's other plays where they were set in Pittsburgh. This is the first one set outside of that area.
Yeah.
And he chose Chicago to tell that story.
The performances are amazing. You're all amazing in this. Viola is stunning in this, but I got goosebumps watching Chadwick in this movie. Could you explain to me what it was like standing next to him in some of these scenes and the power that he delivered for what now will be his final film performance, Michael?
Well,
you know, the great thing, because Viola would say this about him, is that he didn't make his presence the event. He made telling this story and playing this character the event. And he was part of the family. He wasn't, I'm Chadwick Boseman, I'm not Black Panther. I mean, we know this. But he was embodying Levy to the fullest, that he bought everything, simply everything, every bit of his humanity, every bit of his skill and craft as an actor to it. And it elevated the entire story. It elevated all of us who were in the scene with it, just like these other extraordinary actors here in the movie. And so it was extraordinary to see him. You know, I've seen him in his other performances, but I think this will go down as his very finest performance and his most personal, because he brought him so much of himself to the role. And it was incredibly powerful and satisfying and invigorating to be in the presence of that.
And, I just want to know where he got that skunk weed that he gave us to smoke.
There's Glenn Turman joking around. Three amazing, very, very esteemed actors, Glenn, Michael Potts, Coleman Domingo. They are the other part of the band, along with Chadwick Boseman and Viola Davis, in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. It's playing now on Netflix. Let's get an update of news right after this. And this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN, Dino at Homo. I mean, home. That sounded weird all of a sudden, didn't it? Wait a minute. At home.
Well, with the way this morning's gone so far.
Well, that's very true. Dave Schwann joining me right now, because Schwanny also has memories of our next guest on the program. Schwanny, do you remember where we were 40 years ago on what radio station? And this was actually not our first station where we worked together. But 40 years ago, do you remember where we were?
Yes, I do. Super CFL, then known as AM 1000, WCFL.
One grand place to be, as they used to say.
I'll tell you, when I came to work there, I was thrilled to be there. Believe me.
It was amazing. I mean, you know, for, you know, guys like you and me that grew up in Chicago and listening to, WCFL, it was a huge big deal to be there. And back right around the late 70s, early 80s, they brought in a whole team of people to, you know, try to bring the place back, including the great Fred Winston, the great Harry Volkman, all kinds of fantastic talent, including Jim Bohannon, who joined us at WCFL as the morning news anchor with Fred Winston. And Jim Bohannon is on the line with us right now. Jimbo, good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Dean. Dave, I think that we probably ought to talk every several decades or so.
I think that's about right. 39 years, Jim. Yeah. Wow, good to hear your voice.
It is good to hear you guys, yeah. And GN, of course, I hear GN not infrequently at all. That signal you heard on Mars.
Right, yeah. It's our all-powerful 50,000-watt blowtorch that we have here. The big news that we share with you this morning is Jim Bohannon is joining us here on WGN. Jim Bohannon has been doing a national talk show for how many years now, Jim, have you been doing this?
Well, let's see here. I started filling in for Larry King in 1981, and I got this show from Larry when he went full-time to CNN back in 93, so that would be 27 years. In fact, next month it'll be 28 years I've had this show.
How about that? And Jim's show will be added to the lineup starting on January the 4th here on WGN, overnights, from 1 to 4 a.m. So congratulations and welcome back, you know, welcome back to Chicago, really.
Well, thank you, guys. It's really quite an honor, and I've always, of course, had this great admiration, virtually adulation for WGN, and always hoped that someday I might be a part of it. Son of a gun, here I'm going to be a part of it.
Yeah, so tell us a little about your show and what it is that we can look forward to.
Well, we cover a lot of different things. We will hit the big stories of the day, sure, but we've always felt that a man or woman does not live by politics alone. So we'll talk about various things, the sports, entertainment. One time I know we did an hour on whether or not the toilet paper should hang over the front or the back of the roll. And the answer, by the way, is over the front, unless you own a cat, in which case it's probably over the bat, or the cat claw it all down onto the floor. But that kind of stuff. We like to have fun.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to, you know, hear you're tackling the hard-hitting subjects like how should toilet paper go on the roll.
Assuming you have any, yes.
Yes, and I would expect nothing less from you. You know, Jim, how long were you at WCFL with us? You were there a pretty long time, I think.
80 to 83, 3 years.
Yeah, but you were teamed up. No easy task being teamed up with our pal Fred Winston, which, you know, you just never know what's going to happen when you're working with Fred. But you, you know, found a way to have some fun and deliver the news for all that time here in Chicago.
First day I met Fred Winston, and I was the newscaster on his morning show on WCFL. After the show, he took me bar hopping.
Oh, boy.
I lost count after 11.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, I've had some cases like that. He's a completely different person now, by the way. But back in the day, you know, I would get a call on the phone from Fred telling me to meet him there, meet him here, or meet him there. And I knew it was going to be a lost weekend.
There was no way you could ever tell. Today, of course, Fred is very grandfatherly.
Yes.
He has hair whiter than Phil Donahue has or used to have. And I plan to see Fred the next time I'm in Chicago. Of course, I'll be dropping by and saying hello to you, too.
Well, you'll be happy to, you know, to see that not only, you know, my hair did not turn white, mine just fell out.
I remember Dean Richards with hair, by the way.
Yeah, that's how long ago I've known.
Hair and a mustache and a beard.
Yeah.
Today the top of his head is a solar panel for a love machine, is that right?
Wow. That's graphic. What are some of your best memories of living here in Chicago, Jim? I know that you've got you had a great affection for our city.
I did love Chicago. What a wonderful town. I mean, you just cannot say enough wonderful things about Chicago. I remember one time, actually, I did some freelance work for CNN, and one night I was standing in Lincoln Park, and we were desperately trying to hook up with Atlanta and our little microwave relay point, which is to say where your TV signal is relayed to the satellite, was on top of the Hancock Tower. From Lincoln Park, it was snowing so hard we could not see the lights on the Hancock Tower.
Yeah.
Finally, we got hooked up, and so I'm sitting there talking about how wonderful it is to be cold and freezing in Chicago, and I'm opening a package, a recorded piece on TV. So at that point, I do my what we call NQ, that is to say the words that would make the people in Atlanta roll my recorded piece, and I'm standing there waiting for them to say cut, and the producer gives me the stretch sign, which is to say they can't find the recorded piece.
Oh, boy.
Talk. And so I start telling every meteorological macho story I could think of. Must have gone on 2 minutes. That's one of my favorite moments.
That's crazy. Yeah, those are terrifying but very memorable moments when that happens. Now that you're talking about that and covering news, I believe that I may have been on the air with you the morning that John Lennon was killed.
Absolutely.
I seem to remember that for some reason I was filling in on Fred Winston's morning
show. You started out. Remember when the WCFL format changed from lifestyle radio to a sort of adult contemporary music, and Fred was going to be the morning guy, and you were going to be the evening guy. You started out as the morning guy.
That's right, until Fred was able to come
Fred
over.
Until Fred was able to get contractually available. And so, yes, I was there the morning that the night after that John Lennon was killed.
Yeah, Howard Cosell made the big announcement during the NFL game the night before, and you and I and the entire WCFL team, you know, covered that story. You know, for just days. That's all. Yeah, that's all that we covered. And
unreal. And anybody who was alive then knows exactly where they were.
Yeah, that's so true. Let me take a quick break. We'll come back with Jim Bohannon in a minute and talk more about his new show that will debut here on WGN January 4th. It'll be on from 1 to 4 a.m. We call it 720 WGN.
The dolls with bells of holly. Tis the season to be jolly.
10:50, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Jim, I hope you are up for matching the intellectual quality of programming that we provide, like this.
You know, always.
Yes, that's. I'm so looking forward to hearing your show on WGN. It'll start January the 4th from 1 to 4 a.m. That's my drive time because I in the morning during the week, I'm on WGN television covering entertainment. So, you know, I'll be driving in listening to your show while you're talking to newsmakers and, you know, just having fun. And you do this feature that's called The Offbeat that I think a lot of our listeners are really going to enjoy.
Oh, well, thank you. That is a lot of fun. Yeah, that'll wrap up my show every morning on WGN. About 3:55 a.m. It's just a little humorous look at the news of the day, and we have a lot of fun with it.
So in all these years that you've been doing this national overnight show, Jim, what have been some of the highlights for you? People ask, I imagine they ask people who do talk shows all the time, who are your favorite guests? People ask me all the time. You must get the same thing. What have been some of your memorable moments and memorable guests that you've had on?
Well, a couple that come quickly to mind. James Farmer, the civil rights leader, when I saw him come aboard, he's one of the veterans of the original movement. And he came walking through the newsroom, and he was very slow and very old. I thought, well, this guy's seen better days. But actually, his mind and his voice were still very sharp, and he took us back to 1950s apartheid America and how if he were, let's say, to go from, say, old Baltimore to Birmingham, Alabama to visit friends, then they would have to pile the family into the car. They would have to put in blankets and pillows because they couldn't expect to find a hotel. They would pack food because they couldn't expect to find a restaurant as they made this trek across country. It was a very alarming, but I think worthwhile awakening of our recent memory. So James Farmer would be one. George Foreman, the boxer. I asked George, since he was, as a boxer, he was so entirely dour and sour, but then in later years, of course, selling his grills, he was such a happy-go-lucky guy. I said, which is the real George Foreman? He said, oh, the happy-go-lucky guy. But when you walk the mean streets of Houston like I used to do, you walk around with a smile on your face, you'll get your butt kicked. So
yeah.
that explained that.
Yeah.
So I've had a lot of guests like that. It's been a great deal of fun.
Well, one of the things that I'll look forward to is because you're live during the overnight hours, you know, and lots of stories, lots of things happen overnight or in America and around the world. That you'll be able to change gears, won't you? And, you know, cover whatever is happening and whatever is going on at that moment.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, things do happen overnight, of course. You know, foreign newsmakers make their news. And I would note, by the way, that this coming morning at 4:02 a.m., yeah, that's the arrival of winter. So lots of things happen overnight.
Yeah, you know, so I think there's a lot to look forward to. And I got to tell you that Jim, in my career here in Chicago, which Schwani and I both said right before we brought you on here, Jim, that we can't believe it's been 40 years. Where does the time go?
I have no idea. That's just amazing. How could it possibly have been 40 years? Here I am still as young and as cool as I ever was.
Yeah, same.
Sure.
Yeah. Exactly the same. But, Schwani, wouldn't you agree, one of the nicest guys that we've worked with and one of the wittiest and funniest guys, but also, like, with a very, very strong news sense, to know when to be serious and when to goof around. I mean, that's one of the things that I'll always remember from Jim Bohannon.
You summed it up right there, and I was thinking back to my very first day at WCFL. I was overnights on the desk, a nervous wreck, and the phone rang about 2:33 in the morning, and I picked it up, and I heard this voice say, "To whom am I speaking?" And I told him, he says, "Well, this is Jim Bohannon. I'll be in shortly. I just wanted to introduce myself." And he came into the newsroom, 3:34 a.m., all smiles, in a suit.
Yep.
And was yep. very cordial and always, always conducted himself. Put me at ease immediately, and we became good friends. We had lunch several times. But, Jim, I'll always remember all the help you gave me. Thank you.
Well, Dave, thank you. It was a pleasure working with you, with Dean. We had a remarkable crew there. Al Urbanski was
oh,
yeah. there.
Oh, sure.
Dale, who's now a host here on, yeah. on WGN. A lot of great people worked there.
I remember some killer barbecues that Jim had in his backyard in Bolingbrook. Do I remember
Bolingbrook,
that?
Bolingbrook, yes. Beautiful Bolingbrook by the sea. That's correct. 40 so, miles from the lake, but the beautiful Bolingbrook.
That's right. So we're going to look forward to your show and look forward to you're based where exactly, Jim?
In the nation's capital.
In the nation's capital. So he will be coming into Chicago to visit from time
Absolutely.
To time.
Absolutely. Right now I'm thinking probably in October.
That's right.
or sooner.
The way things are going
now. Anytime I'm in town, I'll be dropping by, and I'll be dropping in on you folks despite the restraining order.
Well, we're going to look forward to that. What kind of what your favorite Chicago food that we can have ready for you when you come back?
Well, I probably should stay away from it, but I must admit, deep dish pizza. I just love that. Oh, I just need give me a 10-meter board, and I'll just dive right into that.
There you go. All right, we're going to hook Jim up with Lou Malnati's when he gets here. Jim, it's great to hear your voice. I can't tell you how excited I am that you're going to be part of our WGN family. The Jim Bohannon Show will begin on January the 4th, and we'll be on from 1 to 4 a.m. Welcome home, Jim.
Hey, thank you, Dean, Dave. Thank you so much. It's an honor here to be at 720 for you, 719.95 WGN.
Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you soon. How about that, Schwanny? An old pal coming back.
You really threw me here. When you said an hour ago we were going to talk to an old radio buddy, I had no idea who it might be. It could have been anybody. It could have been Fred. It could have been Lyle Dean. But
I was sworn to secrecy. I was sworn to secrecy.
Yeah, here it is, Jim Bohannon.
He does a fantastic show.
Oh, he does. And then you break the news that he's going to be joining us the first of the year. Great.
Can't wait. These, you got to give these young kids a break once in a while. Yeah, that's the nice thing.
And he's a fine young man. He deserves this. He's a very fine young man.
I'm just glad someone about our age is also on this stage. I think maybe we're not the oldest ones anymore.
No, not quite.
All right.
You're older than I am. Just wanted to remind you that.
Yeah, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Get out and get ready for the
Anytime.
News.
Anytime.
It's coming up next, WGN. Hey, Schwanny, I was just reading about about Jim Bohannon, who's joining us on WGN starting January 4th.
Mm-hmm.
He was inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame.
Oh, I saw that.
In 2003.
Yeah.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
Well.
And voted one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America for three consecutive years by Talkers Magazine.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow. Boy, great to hear his voice on Chicago radio again.
What have we achieved?
Well, let's see. We come in on Sunday mornings and kind of talk and just kind of,
I shot an arrow at Schwanny's head with an apple on his head. That's what we did. There's the difference.
Andy is the one that keeps things together here.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
The grounding principle here. Hey, you guys certainly remember our old pal Gary Pressey, former organist at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
He's joining us after a check of WGN News.
Wow, we got everybody.
Toys, dreams a sack full of joys for millions of girls and for millions of boys. When Christmas Day is here, the most wonderful day of the year.
11:13, Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Coming up in our next half hour, the great Tom Hanks talks with me one-on-one about his new movie and his famous WGN TV visit, and both of us having COVID-19. We'll get to that coming up in a bit. Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman, also on the way in our A-list interviews for today. But maybe the biggest star on the show today is our next guest for, 33 years, he played the organ at Wrigley Field and never missed a day. Gary Pressey retired at the end of the 2019 season, and our pal Gary Pressey joins us on the phone line right now. Hello there, my friend. How are you? Oh.
How you doing?
Do you even take any phone calls at your house if you're not sitting at the organ so you can do that?
Well, sometimes. The perfect song for you, actually, right now, if I could play about 10 seconds of it.
Sure.
If you know it, would be...
Oh, da-da-da-da-da-da! Gary, how are you doing, my friend? How are you doing, pal?
We're doing real well, and I'm so glad that you sound so much better. Mom and I were worried about you, and you sound good.
Thank you.
You're right back at it.
Thank you. I was extremely fortunate with my testing positive for COVID-19. I'm, I guess, what, 3 weeks, three, four weeks in now, right. Something like that, and feeling better all the time. And one of the texts that I got, my personal phone was from Gary, you know, just saying, you know, wishing me well, which I really appreciate.
Sure.
But I really appreciate that your mom listens to the show. You and your mom are such fans WGN and our show, and I really, really appreciate that.
It's a Sunday morning ritual, believe me. It is big time.
Well, it you know, I love the special relationship that you have with your mom. It's you know, especially meaningful to me, you know, this year, especially, you know, with me losing my mom. So enjoy every minute. What have you been doing, my friend, since you know, you know, there's been a few changes over at Wrigley Field since you left.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of left it at a good time, because last year was no fans were allowed, and who knows what's going to happen this year. And I'm very happy, very very happy with my decision, and I'm just living the life.
So what does that mean? Do you just you know, wheel your organ to different places, and you know, you wheel it over to the jewel store, and you know, play for people in the parking lot?
Yeah, have organ, will travel, huh? But, you know, of course, now everything is a little bit on the backstage now with what's going on with the COVID-19. But
sure.
Hopefully by next year, everything will get back to normal. That would be great.
Gary, how did you even get started with this? It's unprecedented for somebody to work on a job for all of those years, 33 years, and you never missed a single day. That's amazing. Well, how did you even get the job as the organist at Wrigley Field?
Well, you know, I used to play the organ for the Loyola basketball team in DePaul, and I filled in for the Chicago Bulls and the Chicago Sting. So the job became available in 1987. John McDonough gave me a call, went in for an interview, got hired on April Fool's Day. So I don't know if that was good or not. And since then, I was there for 33 years, and the highs and the lows, mostly highs.
Yeah. Did you have to audition? Did they say sit down and play some songs for us?
Oh, yes. In fact, there was snowing, of course. And this is like a week before opening day, and we played songs from every decade of 50s through the, you know, at that time, the 80s. And what would I do for this? What do I do for that? And God, I tell you what, God will give somebody always something, and it's up to that person to take it and run with it. You know.
Do you remember the very first thing that you played when you were officially the organist at Wrigley Field?
It probably was. April 7th, 1987, against St. Louis. Probably played Hey Hey Holy Mackerel when they opened up the gate.
How about that? That is something. So let me take a break here, Gary. And when we come back, you were nice enough to say that you'd play some Christmas music for us this morning, which is nice.
No problem. Great.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay, as I go to the break now, I want you to give me something really signature. Going into the break, Gary Pressey special.
Well, it's going to be, seventh inning stretch.
I am ear-to-ear grins right now. That just made me feel like summertime and Chicago and all the woes of 2020 wiped away thanks to Gary Pressey. We'll talk with him more, and he'll play some more songs for us.
Thank you.
Next on WGN. Down. 11:22, Dean Richards, Sunday morning. On WGN, our final show before Christmas, we always end our final show before Christmas with the full version of Darlene Love, this song, from the David Letterman Show. It's a longtime tradition of our Sunday morning show. Great to have our old pal, former Cubs organist Gary Pressey, on the line with us this morning. Now, Gary, how's Mom doing? Give us the update.
Mom is doing excellent. 96 years old, sharp like a tack, and actually, she wanted to just say hi to you. Hang on.
I would love it.
Hey, how are you, young people there?
Hi, Mom.
Love you guys. I wish you the luck and a Merry Christmas and a healthy, happy New Year to all. I love you. And what else could I say?
Let me say how much we love you. Gary tells me all the time that you say hello and send your best. I appreciate that.
I always pray for you people.
That's very sweet of you.
With the help from God, all things are possible.
Very true.
Okay.
Very true.
Love you. So, here's Gary.
Love you too. Thank you so much.
You were talking about ornaments and all that. We have a Santa Claus with a black eye that Mom had when she was like 5 years old.
What?
Yes. I guess he missed the house or something and they didn't like him. And so that's got to be 90-something years old. Unbelievable.
96 years old, your mom. And that's just fantastic.
She's the charm, I tell you.
God love her. That's fantastic.
You.
So you took us into the break playing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Sure.
Gary, nobody has a better perspective of that ritual at Wrigley Field than you do. Mm-hmm. Which ones were your most memorable performances, your most memorable guest conductors, as they were called?
Well, we all know Mike Ditka when he did it in the polka version. We all remember so many people from so many different parts of life. You know, Cardinal George sang the stretch.
Yeah.
And Ryan Sandberg homered in the bottom of the seventh.
Okay, oh, wow.
So you make your own decision on that.
I was up in the booth the time that Ozzy Osbourne was up there.
You read my mind. I was going to bring him up. He did a great job, but he just sang it backwards. And then at the end, he did say, sorta, let's get some runs, after he banged himself against the hallway when he was walking.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And one guy I remember that a lot of people don't remember, Don Cherry, who used to coach the Boston Bruins in hockey.
Yeah.
And I love the Boston Bruins, and we were talking old hockey in the 70s and all that. And there's so many other people that sang, that all the ex-Cubs that sang.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing how, you know, people can be so, you know, proficient and controlled in whatever field they're in. But you put them up there with that microphone, and all bets are off. You know, I know it's nerve-wracking. You know, the time that I did it, I did it with my little nieces.
Yes,
you know, and you stand up there. And you see all those people, a packed house. It kind of freaks you out a little bit. I can completely understand.
Well, you only have 80,000 eyes turning around and looking at you.
Right, and you know, and wondering if you're going to be the next Mike Ditka, right?
Well, we did score a lot of runs in the next inning when he sang, so there you go.
Right, it's legendary, that's for sure.
It sure was.
So, Gary, you're going to give us a little Christmas cheer, I think, with a little rocking around the Christmas
rocking
tree. Is that right?
Christmas tree, if you could. Thank you very much. Okay, hang on. I'll do it.
The great Gary Pressey. Pressey, you are amazing. You have put smiles on everyone's face in Chicago with that today.
Well, thank you very much. I love doing it, and I love talking to you. And like Mom, I echo Mom's sentiments. Have a happy, healthy New Year.
Gary, all the best to you and Mom for a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Look forward to talking to you soon, okay?
And tell Dave and Andy, too. You got it. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Hey, before you go, give me one of those, just going into the breaks. Ba-da-da-da-da-da!
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Love it. I love it. It's my own personal jukebox, Gary Pressey. Thanks, pal. Have a great Christmas.
You got it. You too. Thank you very much.
Right back after this with news. It's Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN, our final show before Christmas. Digging up some of our favorite Christmas tunes to play for you this morning. Our traditional last show before Christmas play of Darlene Love at the end of the show today. That's coming up in a little while. We'll get to our food time show just before that. Talking about Christmas appetizers that you can make. I did some really delicious, I gotta say, pesto puff pastry roll-ups this week. You take a sheet of puffed pastry and you lay down on the puff pastry, basically a pesto spread. It's pesto with everything except the olive oil, because otherwise it would be too runny. So it's basil, it's garlic, it's Parmesan cheese, toasted pine nuts. Put it all in the food processor and then spread it out on this puff pastry and roll it from both sides in, so it almost looks like a figure eight. Then you bake it for about 15 minutes, 350 degrees. These things are delicious. You can make them ahead of time, you know, and pop them in the toaster oven to serve with your guests, or put them in the microwave for 20 seconds, and they're good to go, and they're delicious. Got some more appetizers we're going to be sharing with you on our Food Time show today. And I'm also going to be opening up the phone line. I want to find out about some of your favorite holiday table appetizers. That's all coming up in a little while. One of the other things that is so traditional about Christmas time is it's movie time. It's not quite as much this year as it is in regular years because of all the theaters being closed, but there are still a lot of movies that are opening, that opened this past Friday, that will open this coming Wednesday, that will open next Friday, all for the Christmas break. Many of them are playing on demand, are on streaming services. Theaters are closed in Chicago, so there's no, you know, going to a theater to watch a movie and then having some Chinese food after. Great tradition for a lot of people. But we do have new movies from directed by George Clooney, which is called The Midnight Sky. He directs and also stars along with Felicity Jones and Kyle Chandler and David Oyelowo, among others. There's an amazing, very disturbing movie, really, that's called Promising Young Woman. It stars Carey Mulligan, who is she plays a woman whose friend was raped, and she sets out to even the score. It's, believe it or not, with such a heavy content, it's actually kind of, at times, it's a really funny, irreverent movie. But it's an amazing story, and she's amazing in it. I'll tell you more about it later on this week. Of course, we have Wonder Woman 1984. That's opening on Christmas Day. In a minute, I'll share my interview with Gal Gadot. That's how she told me that you pronounce her name, Gal Gadot. She plays Wonder Woman and also the director of the movie, Patty Jenkins. But I want to start off with, you know, people ask me all the time who are my favorite celebrities to interview. And all this long time that I've been on the interview trail talking to A-listers, you know, one name hits the top of that list every time, and it is the great Tom Hanks. I don't know how many times that I've sat down and talked with Tom in New York, Los Angeles, Rome. I interviewed him in Rome when the Da Vinci Codes came out. And many times here in Chicago, there is a famous visit that he made to WGN television where we didn't tell him, but we set up in the hallway where he would have to walk to get to the studio. Some of our staff members dressed up as his characters from different movies. Nobody had ever done this to him before. And it just, he was a little bit dumbfounded, but played along and was hilarious. It was just, you know, one of the great celebrity visits of all time. Tom has a new movie that's also going to be coming out on Christmas Day in theaters, which means we're not going to see it in Chicago until the early part of January when it goes to video on demand. But this new movie is called News of the World. It's a Western. It's an old-fashioned Western, which Tom has never done. It's the story of a guy that it's right after the Civil War, goes from town to town with a satchel full of newspapers and reads the headlines to people in these little small towns in America, you know, who otherwise would have no source of news whatsoever. Many of them can't even read, so that, you know, they couldn't even read their own newspapers. So Tom's character goes from town to town reading the news. It's a very interesting premise, but along the way of traveling from town to town, he finds a young girl who has been abandoned on the trail, and he takes her with him to try to find some place to put her someplace safe. An interesting story develops out of that. I don't want to tell you too much of what happens with the relationship between Tom's character, this grizzled old guy, this newsreader, and this young girl. Tom joined me on a Zoom chat a little bit earlier this week. Tom, you know that I've admired you greatly. I try to follow and live my life in every way possible as you have. And I'm sorry to say that 2 weeks ago, I also tested positive.
There you go for
COVID-19. I'm out of my quarantine starting today, but you are the first guy that I thought of, you know, after, you know, the fear of what might happen to me. I thought, oh my God, this is what Tom and Rita went through. And believe me, no fun on this end.
You know, there's about 3 days where you wonder if there's something inside you that puts you at risk. You know, I have type 2 diabetes and my wife's a cancer survivor. There's some things where I said, are we going to be okay? And probably like you, about 3 days in, I'm guessing, they said, all right, you know, you're breathing okay. You got good oxygen in there. We think then you got through it. Body aches. I'm can only imagine how tough it would be. But Dean, you didn't give it to anybody. Let's go on the other side of what this thing is.
Yeah.
You did it right.
Yeah.
If you didn't write, you didn't pass this thing along to that one person out of 17 or what have you that that might succumb to it, you know. So this is where I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah,
glad you made it through.
I'm glad you're okay, and you know you hear you know guys like us telling people to be careful, be 10 times more careful than you thought you were being in the first place. That's the bottom line of the whole thing. I also have to tell you, Tom, just as a side note, you remember when you came to WGN, we walked you down the hall, we had all of your old characters. We have asked our viewers over and over and over favorite moments on our show. Hands down, landslide, the Tom Hanks walk down our hallway remains the number one moment on WGN Morning News.
I didn't realize what was going on until I saw, I think, the third person that looked like dressed in something that was familiar. You had everybody there. You had Woody, and you had Captain Miller. I'm sure you had them all. Kudos to you for not telling your guest what you were going to be doing to them. I thought that was, it took me by surprise.
Yeah, we didn't know how that was going to work out. That could have gone, if it was anyone but you, it could have been really disastrous. So now we're gonna have to add this Western guy. Man, Tom, what a role this is. I mean, there has to be something special for an actor just to take on, you know, an old fashioned Western, this pure salt of the earth kind of character, right?
The great joy is you have a character that's already made for you. Because he's just so burdened. There's no amount of flashbacks and there's no beginning to the story. You just start off with this guy who is burdened by so much in his past. Yeah, look, it's kind of nice playing somebody who's my age. You know, I'm 64. So you're not trying to, you don't have to fall in love with anybody. You don't have to kiss a girl. You have to instead just slowly figure out, just the scars on his back tell an awful lot of the story for him. But also the clarity of his purpose in life, which is to read the news to anybody who has 10 cents and the time to hear it. There was something I think that was really magical about Paula Giles's book, is that she landed on this concept of a guy reading about Queen Elizabeth and the Cincinnati Reds and elevators in 8-story hotels in Boston, or how many people died of the fever and whether or not a new train was going to be built, to people who are hungry for not just information, but for belonging to a world outside themselves. And that's what the news of the world, I think, is all about.
Yeah.
Is that the dichotomy between a solitary life and knowledge of the greater world that's out there.
Yeah, I don't know if I was more impressed by the pure beauty, visual beauty of this movie, or the parallels to things that are going on in the world today that were startling to me. I mean, it was really genius in so many ways.
There's a big distance between believing in hooey and magic arguing about empirical science. There is something too. Look, I can't say enough about Darius Wolski and the beauty of essentially the oil lamp. We should all dim our lights every night at sunset in order to live in an orange glow, as opposed to some of the things we have. But there is a I think one of the there's a line in it where he's talking about how it's going to take them 6 days on the road in order to get from one place to the next. And that slow pace that is brought about by physics, by geography, and the fact that a horse can only walk so fast, that is like, it's a calming, soothing kind of like, there is no hurry there. We cannot speed this along any faster. And I think our modern era is based on getting things done, getting information as fast as possible, and formulating so many important decisions in our lives based on quick, hurry up, and instantaneous connection that we have somebody else. So without that instantaneousness, it ends up being a lovely pause.
Yeah, Tom, it's great to see you. Glad you're well. Merry Christmas to you and Rita and the whole family. And I hope we get to see each other in person again sometime soon.
The world will continue to spin on its axis, Dean, and we'll all still be on it when it's all finished.
You're my hero. Thank you, pal.
Thank you, Dean. Lovely to see you.
There is the great Tom Hanks. His new movie is called News of the World. Technically opening in theaters on December 25th, but here in the Chicago area, theaters are closed. So we're going to have to wait until it goes on demand, which they're telling me will be early January. In a moment, another movie opening on Christmas Day, Wonder Woman. We talked with its star, Gal Gadot, next. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, our A-list interview segment, talking with Tom Hanks, as we did just a couple of minutes ago, and also the star and director of one of the most anticipated and most delayed movies of the pandemic season, Wonder Woman 1984. This movie was supposed to come out last summer, because they thought theaters might be open by then. They did not. Then it was supposed to come out in October. Then it was supposed to come out in November. And now they are officially releasing Wonder Woman 1984 on Christmas Day in theaters and also on HBO Max. So you will be able to see this one on Christmas Day on HBO Max. Or if you're listening someplace where theaters are still open, chances are you'll be able to see it up on a big screen. We talked with the movie's director, Patty Jenkins. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman herself, talked to me about the delays of this blockbuster. How do you feel about all of the delays? I mean, your film is really, you know, one of the biggest that got delayed about all this. Do you have any concern that most people are going to be seeing it at home instead of on big screens?
You know, if you told me that's what we were going to do a year ago, I would flip out and say, no way. However, COVID completely changed our lives, and our movie had been ready for a year now, and we kept on pushing and pushing and pushing and hoping to get the best window possible. But really now we just felt like there wasn't a better, you know, we didn't have many options out there. And we just felt like the movie is so relevant now more than ever, more than we could ever had anticipated back when we shot it back in 2018. So the thought of having people, families watching the movies together on a Christmas day just warmed my heart. And honestly, I'm just in a place right now that I just want to have as many people be able to watch the movie.
Now, was this, it seemed to me like it was much more physical than the first Wonder Woman movie and other Justice League and the rest. What kind of paces did you go through for this?
It was just a lot of work. I'm still recovering. It was a lot.
After 2 years, you're still recovering.
No, yeah, it was, look, I think that made a point about wanting to have as less, you know, CGI as possible, which is great. And I'm super happy about it. And I'm extremely happy with the result. However, it meant that we had to do so much more by ourselves. And that means you got to learn it, rehearse it, be hang up in the air in a harness on wires, being dunked into water, acting while doing so much of the stunts by ourselves. It was a lot, but it's worth it because at the end of the movie, you get to see the difference. It's like you see it in the weight and in the speed and in our expressions. You see that it's not computers. So it was worth it, but it was very, very laborious. And yes, but I'm still recovering.
You are like an Olympic athlete, and you always have been. I wonder, what was your assessment of Kristen Wiig, who I thought was amazing?
She was amazing. She was amazing.
Yeah.
She was amazing, and we were so excited she said yes to this role, because both Betty and I were big fans of hers. I mean, Bridesmaids is my favorite comedy, and we were both really looking forward to working with her. And I think that she really, really nailed it like no one else. She completely, her character goes through a full transition, and she starts in the most vulnerable, shy, quirky type of woman into the most badass, sexiest, dark, evil villain. So she's amazing.
Have you changed your viewing habits at all during the pandemic? I mean, a lot of us have had to adjust, to how we watch movies, how we entertain ourselves. Have you had to do that personally yourself?
Yeah, first of all, yeah, because you can't go to any concerts or you can't go to the theater for a while. I got to say that for me, it was less about the content that I consume, but it was more about, you know, once you're being stuck in a bubble in your home all the time, you want to go out. So it was more about like finding ways to still keep and be active.
Gal Gadot talking about her new movie, 1984. In a minute, her director, Patty Jenkins, talks about her perspective of putting this movie out and all of the pandemic delays. That's coming up in a couple of minutes. Quick reminder for you, since we're getting so close to Christmas time, that Bozo, Gar, and Ray, WGN-TV Classics, will be on Christmas Eve. It's kind of a tradition now. We run it every Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. until midnight on WGN television. And then it will also be streaming live on WGNTV.com. So if you have friends or relatives really anywhere in the world, if they can get internet, they will be able to watch Bozo, Gar, and Ray, 10 p.m. to midnight Central Time, Christmas Eve. You can also watch it on the WGNTV News mobile app.
You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I am telling you why, 'cause Santa Claus is coming to town.
A little bit of holiday cheer for you on the show today, our final show before Christmas 2020. Going to have a little Darlene Love holiday cheer. It's always been a tradition here on my Sunday show all these years. We always end the final show before Christmas with Darlene Love singing Christmas Baby, Please Come Home, a great version that she did on David Letterman's show years ago. So we'll get to that coming up. We're going to get into Food Time segment for today. No guests today. I just wanted to spend some time with you on the phones to talk about your favorite Christmas appetizers, or just really your favorite appetizers. I've been working on some for my TV cooking segment that I want to share with you. I've got some special ones that I'm going to be doing on TV this week, but I wanted to just get some great ideas from you as well. So we'll get to that on the phones in a little while. We've been sharing some of our A-list interviews with you this morning for some of the movies that are opening for the holiday season. earlier we played an interview with the fine supporting cast of Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, the very prestigious, very veteran actors that joined Chadwick Boseman in what turned out to be his final film, and also Viola Davis for this great Netflix movie, Coleman Domingo, Michael Potts, and Glenn Turman. We played back the one-on-one interview that we did with the great Tom Hanks a little while ago, and his new movie is called News of the World, and also Gal Gadot, who stars as Wonder Woman in Wonder Woman 1984. I also wanted to share the conversation that we had with the director of Wonder Woman 1984, Patty Jenkins. It was just a few years ago that the first Wonder Woman movie came out and was met with critical acclaim. People just absolutely loved it. And then the new Wonder Woman movie was supposed to come out first right around the 4th of July. Then it got delayed because of COVID-19. Delayed three more times, as a matter of fact, after that. And now it is definitely set for a Christmas Day release, both in theaters and also on HBO Max. So even those of us here in Chicago where the theaters are closed will still be able to see it. And it very much is worth your time. I've seen it already and really had a fun time watching it. Gal Gadot did a great job. Kristen Wiig is amazing in this movie as the villain, and all put together by one of the great directors that we have out there these days, Patty Jenkins, who I talked to on a Zoom chat.
I have been more concerned about the world, so that was a strange thing to go from only caring about this movie and my family for so long and just being obsessed with it, to go straight from that to not thinking about the movie because you were so preoccupied with all of the terrible things happening to people getting sick and what was going on politically in this world and people saying horrible things to each other. And, but then it got to a point where you started to wonder, like, oh my God, all of that. And I really believed in this movie and loved it so much. Is it never going to come out? Which is what it started to feel like. So it feels truly incredible to give it away now.
Yeah. And you're comfortable that probably most people are going to see it at home instead of on a, as big a screen as possible.
Bizarrely so. I never would have thought that I would feel that way. But the number one priority as a filmmaker is communion with an audience. And in a time where the only way that they can do that is with their own family in their home, then let's do it. I think that to do it with the whole world by giving them the movie and allowing them to have communion with each other, it just means so much to me. So I'm thrilled about this way of doing it. I would love people to see it on as big a screen as possible, but if they're happy to do it at home, I'm happy for them to do it at home.
Yeah, there's time for that now that the vaccine is on the way. And I got to say, watching it at home, I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything. It's so much fun.
Good.
To watch. What would you say is the biggest difference just in terms of the movie making of this one and the first Wonder Woman movie?
I think I really let loose with this one. The first one, it was, you're trying to bring something to life and be very careful. On this one, I was like, let's go for it, man. Let's make the greatest, most massive movie in every way, emotionally, thematically, and visually. And so I aimed for the stars with every aspect of it. And that made it a very difficult movie to make, but also wonderful because it allowed us to aim that way emotionally, to try to make something really, really, really profound, hopefully, and have some other, joy, I hope, for all of those things. So, you never know how far you get to the mark, but that's what we were allowed to aim for.
And I gotta say, what genius casting with Kristen Wiig, known for comedy, known for nothing, that you put her into this movie except like kind of the beginning of the movie, but man, did she knock it out of the park.
Thank you. I love hearing that now, because of course you hear all the conversation of, I don't know, we'll see, we're trusting you, I hope it, and so now when she was first cast, so it's so delightful for me to see people embracing her. I thought she was so awesome.
Have you changed your own viewing habits, the way that you entertain yourself at all since, we've all sort of been locked down?
Yeah, what's been wonderful is really embracing movie night with my son. And because there's not enough new movies all the time, we end up going through all the 80s films and, you know, and all of the old films and, you know, really watching everything together at times has been kind of cool. We've always done that, but it's just become more important during this time.
Is there like an 80s film that you watched recently that you really loved seeing again?
We just showed him Terminator. He just is old enough to see Terminator, which I haven't seen. I've seen Terminator 2 more recently, but I haven't seen it in a long time. And what a great film.
Yeah, I haven't seen Terminator in a long time. She made me, you know, want to go, you know, probably dig through my VHS tapes. I'm not even sure that I have that one on DVD, but it would be fun to go back and watch those. The Back to the Future movies, those 80s movies are a lot of fun. And somehow during the pandemic, are offering a lot of comfort to people. You know, I guess it's kind of a touchstone of a happier time. Is that the reason, you know, maybe people are, you know, going back for those like Groundhog Day and, you know, Footloose? Those are some of the movies that I'm hearing that people are going back and watching. Of course, you know, I could watch Shawshank Redemption every day of the week. I could watch Moonstruck every single day of the week. That's got to be in my top three or five movies of all time. I think that that's just a amazing movie. I'll say I stop and watch the Godfather movies. If I see them playing someplace, I'm, you know, just kind of scrolling around a little bit, and I see it's playing, I'll stop. If it's the first two movies, definitely I'll stop and watch them. I don't even know how many times I've seen those. But there are certain movies that are just, you know, there's certainly very little about Godfather that's warm and fuzzy, and even Shawshank Redemption in certain ways. But, you know, they just kind of bring back nice memories. Sometimes you just don't want to be challenged, you know, when you're watching movies. I am going to be recommending this new Wonder Woman movie, Wonder Woman 1984. I'm going to give you my reviews on all of these probably like Wednesday or Thursday of this coming week, both here and on WGN television. Wonder Woman 1984, News of the World, the Tom Hanks movie, is only opening in theaters on Christmas Day. Probably will be opening video on demand early January. The George Clooney movie, I believe, is also one that is on demand that you'll be able to watch. And what was the other one? Oh, the Carey Mulligan movie, Promising Young Woman, which is it's a disturbing movie about violence against women, but is one of the most creative movies that I've seen this year. That's also a Christmas Day opening as well. And Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which is on Netflix right now. Tenet, which is the Christopher Nolan movie that's playing on demand right now. So there's lots of choices and things for you to see right at the moment. And, you know, we cover them all right here, both on WGN Radio and on WGN Television. When we come back from the break, I want to get into our Food Time segment for today. And as I'd mentioned, we're going to do this without guests today. You will be my guests on the show today, because I just want to open up the phone lines and talk about Christmas appetizers. Want to talk about, you know, whether they're specifically Christmas appetizers or just something that you always put out on the table. I want to put the question out there. Are you even going to be doing any Christmas entertaining this year? You know, with the COVID-19 restrictions and what all the experts are telling us, we should, you know, keep the bubble small this year. So what are you going to be doing? Are you, you know, just going to make it like super immediate family that are in your bubble? Are you opening it up in any way? Are you doing something outside? But so tell me about that. But also tell me your favorite appetizer recipes. I've got some that turned out really great that I made on television that I want to share with you. That's all coming up next. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 on WGN.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
1226, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, is our text line. Love to hear from you this morning about your holiday plans and your appetizers that you always put out that, you know, you like if you didn't put them out on the holiday table, people would go nuts because it's always such a favorite. Lori is up first. Hi, Lori, you're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. How are you?
Doing very well. Appreciate you calling in. So what are your Christmas plans this year? Significantly different than in years past?
Hugely different. My mother has 8 children, 11 grandchildren, 15 great-grandchildren. Most of them she has not seen since last Christmas.
Wow.
So she will not be seeing any of them this year. For Thanksgiving, we did arrange a Zoom so she could at least see her great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
But this year, we're just going to get together with my one sister and her family. And Christmas Day, she and I will be alone.
Your sister and you?
No, my mother and I.
Your mother and you will be alone on Christmas this year. I was going to ask if she's in the same city. Obviously, she is. So you can...
Yeah, my mother and I live together.
Oh, okay. All right. So she's in your bubble, as they say.
She kind of is my bubble.
Yeah, right. So are you going to do anything special, even though it's just the two of you instead of the big gathering?
I'm going to just ask her what is her favorite meal and do whatever her favorite meal is. Because we just had a big turkey dinner with my brother and his wife yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to let... ask her what she wants. I will make her favorite thing. And I saw something online that I want to make. They took crescent rolls, shaped them into a Christmas tree, spread it with pesto, baked it, and then decorated it with cherry tomatoes.
Oh, that sounds good. And really, really pretty. Yeah. So what do you do? You lay the crescent rolls out flat?
You lay it out flat. And then you kind of cut slits on the side and fold it in and out to make a Christmas tree pattern.
Yeah.
And you put pesto on it and bake it.
That's very similar to the appetizer that I made on TV with where I took a sheet of puffed pastry and I spread on the in my food processor first, I put Parmesan cheese, basil, and toasted pine nuts and garlic.
Which is essentially what pesto is.
Right. It's pesto minus the olive oil. This is pesto minus the olive oil because I spread that on the puffed pastry, and then I rolled the two edges of the puffed pastry in toward the center, so it kind of looked like a figure eight when it was done. I cut them into individual pieces and baked them in the oven at 350 for about 15 minutes. And they're these delicious, crunchy little puff pastries with a pesto flavor that are just so delicious. But yours sounds a lot prettier than the ones that I did.
Essentially, you just roll it out into a long rectangle, and then you cut the edges
yeah.
and fold them in to make the Christmas tree pattern.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be doing some other pastries on TV this week. One of them is a little Christmas tree takeoff, a little bit like what you're saying. I'll give the recipe for that coming up in the next hour. I hope you and your mom and your whole family have a great Christmas this year, despite all the restrictions.
Yeah, thank you very much. My mother's just used to having 40 and 50 people for Christmas, and not happening.
Yeah, we gotta keep everybody safe and make the corrections this year. Hopefully, we'll be done with this soon. Merry Christmas to you, Lori. Thank you.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
All right, thank you too. 312-981-7200 to get right back to the calls and texts after we get a check of WGN News.
Oh, the old lady, I know. That's hard rock and cocoa and gold.
Now,
Now listen, my children, and you shall hear a story fantastic, a story so queer. It's all about Santa and his helpers three. There's Hard Rock and Coco and Joe.
Now Hard Rock's the driver up there by his sleigh. Coco reads that and he shows him the way. Though old Santa really has no need for Joe, but takes him cause he loves him so. Oh, you lady, I hate. Daughter and listen away, away. Oh, you lady, I know.
I'm Hard Rock.
I'm Coco.
I'm Joe.
That is Chicago history right there. Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe from the very, very famous black and white vignette that's been running on WGN television since the 1950s, along with Susie Snowflake and Frosty the Snowman. Those three featurettes will be part of our Bozo Gar and Ray special, which has also become part of Chicago television history around holiday time. Every Christmas Eve, we feature Bozo Gar and Ray from 10 p.m. until midnight Central Time, and this year will be no different. So make sure you're watching WGN TV for Bozo Gar and Ray, the two-hour special that remembers Bozo Circus, that remembers Ray Rayner and Garfield Goose and Friends, and features Hard Rock, Coco and Joe, Susie Snowflake, and also Frosty the Snowman. That's starting at 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve, Central Time, on WGN Television, and also on the WGN TV News app, and also it will be streaming live on WGNTV.com. So if you have family or friends anywhere in the world, if they get the internet, they will be able to stream WGNTV.com and watch the special as well. That's this coming Thursday night, Christmas Eve, on WGN and Joe. All right, let's move on to our Food Time segment for today. Wanted to talk about what you're doing for the holidays and how different it's going to be this year. Very few people are having the big gatherings this year because of COVID-19. Everyone's keeping it really small, just within, you know, their own bubble. But still, people are trying to do something special, a special meal, a special appetizer, a special something. Honestly, I don't even know what I'm doing yet. I'm just getting over a COVID-19 positive result. So I'm being super careful about being around people. So I may fly solo for Christmas this year myself. But what I am going to do, because this is tradition in my family, we make the pimento cheese ball that my grandmother would make at every single family gathering there was. Now, you know, this is my Greek grandmother who came to the United States in, the 19-teens, the early 1920s. A pimento cheese ball is not on the Greek menu. She must have gotten this recipe out of, good housekeeping or a girlfriend of hers. She was a cashier at a restaurant. Somebody must have given her this recipe, and she liked it. There's nothing Greek about it at all, but it's become part of our family tradition to have Yaya's pimento cheese ball. We do it every year when we all get together. I'm going to be doing it just individually myself because I think it'll bring me a little comfort to have it. And it's so easy for you to make as well. You take a package of cream cheese, 8-ounce package of cream cheese, and get it to about room temperature so you'll be able to mix it up a little bit. Let it sit out on the counter for a little bit. In the meantime, take a small jar of the Spanish olives with the pimento, the green olives that have the pimento in them. Set the brine aside, the juice aside, and just get the olives and dice them up pretty good. Give them a good dicing. And then you're going to mix the olives with the cream cheese. That's all there is to it, really. Just thoroughly mix it all together. It's really pretty. with the green and the red from the pimentos and the olives, and it's mixed with the cream cheese. If it's too thick, or you just prefer a little thinner consistency, you can add a little of that olive juice from the jar into the mixture as well, and it, you know, makes it a little easier to dip into, which is what you're going to eventually be doing. But take that cheese that you've now mixed together, put it on a piece of cellophane, roll it into a ball, and put it in the refrigerator. So now it's going to get hardened up again. When you're ready to serve it, take it out of the cellophane, and in a little small plate, put some diced walnuts or diced pecans, and roll this cream cheese pimento ball in the nuts until it's all thoroughly covered. Put it on a plate. My grandmother used to serve it with good old Ritz crackers, and I'll tell you what, there's nothing more delicious. And it's that's a little holiday tradition that we always do in our family. Here is Cindy at 312-981-7200. Hi, you're on WGN.
Hi, how are you?
Merry Christmas to you.
Same here. Well, my plans for Christmas, normally we have a gathering in the dining room at Freeman Place, and we have a nice big lunch, and then later on they give us the stacked lunches to take home for our dinners. And normally we would get together in the activity room and mess with the Alexa. But since we are on lockdown, all meals are going to be in our room. And I was going to go home, seeing that I don't have bingo Thursdays and Fridays, and spend time with my family. But unfortunately, I'm here.
Yeah.
So this is a good place. I have nothing against Freedman.
Yeah. What is Freedman Place?
Freedman Place is an assisted living facility for the blind people.
Oh, okay.
Blind, partially sighted.
Yeah, yeah. So you live there.
Yes, I've been living there 9 years now.
Okay,
I like
yeah. I was going to say, so it's a nice community for you there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, how's the COVID situation been there? Has it been under control?
Under control over here, yeah, because our administrator helps us, gives us tips on what to do.
Got it. Okay. So are there any food traditions for you? For Christmas time?
Yeah, Christmas we usually have the green bean casserole, potatoes, ham, or a vegetarian meal, or gluten-free lasagna.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, having those, you know, just kind of makes the holiday a little bit. It's something familiar for you, right?
Yes. And sometimes we have a nice dessert like Boston pie or a sweet potato pie or eggnog mousse.
Oh, you can't go wrong with those. Yeah,
no.
Those are very tasty. Well, I hope you have a wonderful time. It sounds like you've got it all together there. Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year. I appreciate you listening today. Thank you so much.
Same here.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. What are the appetizers that you put out? What are some of the special things? One of the things that I'm going to be doing on television this week, I just got an air fryer. I'd been, just sort of stubborn about it. It's like, oh, I have enough kitchen stuff. I've got enough appliances. I don't have room for all this stuff. And then somebody, told me, you got to try this air fryer. Just give it a try. It's going to change your life. And I got one, and it really is quite amazing, I got to say. I don't really have room for another appliance, but I'm making room for this. I've made Brussels sprouts in the air fryer, and they come out fantastic. They come out nice and crispy on the outside and nice and tender and moist on the inside. With very little oil, very, very little fat. I've done some sweet potato fries in them that are fantastic. Very little oil. What else have I done in there? Oh, I did some chicken wings in them. And they come out nice and crispy with very little oil. Very tasty. This really is quite the invention. So this is what I'm going to do on TV this week for an appetizer. And, you know, if you have an air fryer, do it in the air fryer. If you don't, you can use a conventional method of, frying on the grill or deep frying, however you normally would fry. But I'm going to do some air fryer toasted ravioli. air fryer toasted ravioli. And this, it sounds like it's going to be pretty easy. You pick up a package of these, ravioli of your choice that they sell in the dairy case. I got some butternut squash ravioli, which I think is delicious. I love that. It's sweet. And I got some mushroom ravioli. Got a bag of each one. And what you're going to do is, just let those cook and put them in a little bit of water just to cook them a little bit. But while those are in the water, not overcooked, in a separate bowl, combine some breadcrumbs with Parmesan cheese. And then in another bowl, beat some eggs with some garlic powder. So then you're going to obviously cool down the ravioli from the hot water. You're going to take a ravioli, put it in the egg mixture first, and then into the breadcrumbs with the Parmesan cheese. You coat both sides of the ravioli, put it in the air fryer. Fill up the basket of your air fryer with a single layer of this ravioli. You're going to set the air fryer at 350 degrees and let it go for 9 minutes. And these things are going to come out nice and crispy and delicious, and the insides will have melted. And you put a platter of these out, air fried toasted ravioli, maybe put a little marinara sauce on the side someplace so people can dip, put a little marinara with their air fried ravioli. I think you're going to have a big hit on your hands for holiday get-togethers. I've got some more recipes that I'll get to in a minute, and more of your phone calls too. 312-981-7200. This is WGN. Hi, Kathy. You're on WGN.
Oh, Dean. Hi. I'm so happy to talk to you. You know what? You are the best thing to happen to Sunday morning since Mass.
Aren't you? Wow. That's quite a comparison I never thought I would hear, but thank you very much.
I just so look forward to Sunday mornings because of you.
Oh,
and
thanks.
I wanted to just say a couple of things. First of all, I'm very sorry about your mom, and my
Thank
mom
you.
Also had dementia, so I understand your heartache and all you went through. And I'm also sorry about your COVID, but you sound fantastic, so I hope you, you're well very soon.
Yeah, coming along better every day. Thank you for both
you
of those.
Fantastic.
I appreciate it.
And then also your timing with the air fryer is perfect because I have been wanting one forever, but I don't know one person that has one, so I have no idea where to look or what to look for. And I was wondering, since you're so happy with yours, would you be able to tell me which one you're using?
Well, I've got one which is a Hamilton air fryer. If it's just an air fryer, look for one that's got a nice large basket, so you can you don't have to do 100 different batches of something. So invest in a good sized basket. There's also a Black & Decker toaster oven that has an air fryer in it. And I've been using both of those. The thing about the air fryer itself is that it collects anything that may drip into it. The toaster oven, you got to make sure that there's a pan underneath so any drippings, fall into that. So I would say, just make sure you get the right size. That's going to be the main thing.
Okay.
But I think you'll be happy. I went in super skeptical, and I got to say I'm pretty happy with the whole thing.
Well, it sounds like you're having fun with it, and that's what I want to do. So I'll give it to myself for Christmas.
All right, good deal. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you again for the nice words. I really appreciate it.
Yes,
and
you deserve it.
Yeah, thank you. That's very, very sweet of you. That's going to wrap up the show for today as well. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and happy holiday, a happy new year. We'll be back here next Sunday morning, but please have a safe, safe holiday, whatever you do. As has been tradition on the show, on our final show before Christmas, we present the great Darlene Love along with the Air Force Orchestra performing on David Letterman. Back in 2003. Merry Christmas, everyone.